3. Hey, all righty. Y'all ready to roll? Ready to rumble? Rumble with the word. Hallelujah. Well, that sounds good, huh? I like that. Rumble with the word. Let God do the mighty work that he needs to do in our hearts and lives. You know, I was thinking of, you know, when you want something to grow, most, you know, whatever, you go and you get seeds and you plant them in the ground or you plant them in a pot. And those seeds take a while before you can see the visible plant coming through. But just because you can't see the visible plant coming through that, breaking through that soil, doesn't mean that nothing's happening to it in the ground. And I just felt impressed that the Spirit of God was just working in many people's lives. You might feel like you're dying, and that's okay, because God wants you and I to die to self. Amen. Because you see, we can never do all that God wants us to do if we are on the throne of our lives. And it takes God bringing us low and bringing us down to a place to our knees that we humble ourselves before him and we die to self. And it's not an easy thing to die to self. It's not easy. And it's not, and it doesn't feel good either. Does not feel good. But it's for the best interest of the kingdom of God. The best interest of the kingdom of God is if we let ourselves be lowered and God raised in our hearts and lives so that he could be glorified, praised, and honored through us and through the things that we desire and want God to do and what God wants to do. Okay, let's take our Bibles. Make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we probably all could pinpoint the day or the time and the time when God changed our hearts and changed our lives. The time where we gave our hearts to him. He had been drawing us and working in us and through us, working in our hearts, getting us to a place that we would surrender our hearts unto him. You know, God can get us to a place where all we can do is look up. And that's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. That we can get to a place that all we can do is look up and saying, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Because you see, he's looking not for perfect people, but he's looking for a people that will take his calls upon their lives and do what he wants them to do in their lives, knowing that they will accomplish what the kingdom of God can do in so many hearts and in so many lives. But seeing what God can do, surrendering our hearts, surrendering our lives to him because of who he is and who he what he wants to do in us. We now desire his will for our lives in all things. Before we got saved, none of us desired really the things of God. We couldn't. There's no way possible. We had the sin nature really ramped up in all of our lives. And that was what we wanted to satisfy, that sin nature on the inside of us that we inherited. Thank you, Adam, and thank you, Eve. Thank them for that part. And so God had to come in and he had to send a Savior into the world Jesus Christ, who willingly came to die upon the cross so that he could reconcile man back to him, God the Father. And to take that sin nature that's on the inside of us and bring it down to a place where it is not as strong anymore, because it has been subdued by the Spirit of God that now lives on the inside of us. And now we desire the things of God. We desire to be in His Word. We desire to fellowship with other believers. We desire to praise and to worship and to pray to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords because of what God has done on the inside of us. Taking on the cause of the gospel's sake. Giving our money so that the gospel's sake could go forth and Bibles could be given and preachers could be sent, missionaries could be sent, and the gospel of Jesus Christ could be propagated throughout the world because of people willingly giving. People aren't going to give without God moving on the inside of their hearts and lives. But God knows what He's doing and how He's doing. So here we are, we got saved. Now we're taking on the desires of our God to do what He desires, what He wants. And in the midst, He helps us to live lives that are pleasing unto Him and prosperous unto the kingdom of God. At some point in your life, you have faced many decisions or major decisions in your hearts and in your lives, and wondered how to know which option to choose or which way to go. Which way to go. You see, I'm realizing that God wants to work in every aspect of my life, just like your life. But I know decisions come about, and it's hard to wonder what to do. Like building a house or buying a house or buying a new vehicle or buying another vehicle or moving here or moving there. And, you know, there's just decisions. Or the Spirit of God drops something in your heart and you're saying, oh, Lord, I don't know if that's you or not. And you know it's Him and you're kind of battling and you're saying, Lord, what do I do? You know, the one thing I've learned to do is this. Whenever I feel the Spirit of God put something in my heart to do or to say or whatever, I always go to the Word of God and say, does it line up with the Word? Not long ago, God spoke something in during the church service. Just for me personally. And I said, Lord, I'm not sure about that. In a way. So I went to the Word it's been a month and a half. Just studying the Word. Going to the Scriptures. Reading the Scriptures. Saying, Lord, and I'm telling you, and I said, Lord, I see it. Because you see, you don't want to make a wrong decision. You make a wrong decision and you go in a wrong direction, it could affect your life, the life of your spouse, the life of your children, and it could bring destruction. Yes. Destruction. That's why we got to seek God. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek Him last. Ooh. It doesn't say go to everybody in church, find out what they think, and then go to Him. Now, go to your spouse, definitely. But go to Him first. The church, the body of Christ, needs to turn to God first. The individual families need to go to God first. That father, that mother needs to go to God first. And I'm saying go to God, I mean going to Him. Saying, Lord, show me, help me in this direction. And let me tell you this, God is waiting for us to go to Him. God is waiting for us to call upon Him. God is waiting for us to look at Him, to see what to do and where to go, what to say, how to do it. Because He knows what it's best. And just because something worked for one person may not work for you. Because it has to be inspired by God and anointed by the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, if it's the Word, it has to be the right word at the right time and in the right place. See, God says, my people are led by what? The Spirit of God. We're to be led by what? The Spirit of God. Oh, my God. The Spirit of God runs us down. The Spirit of God lives in us. We're to be led by His Spirit. Letting the Spirit of God move within us, move within our hearts, move within our souls. Seeking Him above anything else. Listen, church, body of Christ, whoever's listening. Jesus needs to be number one. In the church too. Not money, not possessions, not things, not people, not families, not last names. But Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, needs to be number one in that place. So the Spirit of God could move. It's not a social group. It's not a golf club group. It's a person that Jesus died for, the body of Christ, that He has set up to reach the world for the kingdom of God. Doing everything we can to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And God is trying to kill everything on the inside of us that's trying to destroy us. Trying to bring it low so that He could rise up. You see, what He's trying to do is conform us into the image of His Son. Look at this. I want you to turn, let's turn to John 14:14. You're going to say, oh yeah, I know that scripture. John 14:14. Believers have been given an amazing degree of latitude as it regards carrying out the work of God. The Lord has the power to do it all. John 14:14, it says this. This is powerful, people. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, we know this. We can't go out and ask for, whatever God puts up. But, I'm just being facetious. I can't walk out in there and say, Lord, I want a BMW. You know. And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a nice car. Nothing wrong with a nice home. You know. But it can be extreme. Okay? It can be extreme. But it says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. According to the word of Almighty God. You can claim that scripture. My God, people, write that scripture down. Get it in your spirit. Get it in your soul. Write it on your mirror. And the things that you're praying about, and God puts that in your heart, well, you can go back to this scripture and you can say, Lord, your promise is this. If I shall ask anything in your name, it says you will do it. Amen. My God, what a promise, people. The things that have tried to hold you down and destroy your life and destroy your family and destroy your church, that you can come against those things and you can bind it by the name of Jesus. Because the scripture says, whatever you shall bind upon the earth, it shall be bound. Whatever you shall loose upon the earth, it shall be loose by the power of Almighty God. The world cannot bind or loose, but the church, because of the power of Jesus Christ and what he did. My God, you have the authority and the power. If you shall ask anything according to his word, according to what the power of God moves upon your heart to ask for, all God says is just ask. In his name. My God. We don't realize sometimes, I know I don't, what Jesus won at Calvary's cross. Everything. The victory in the believer's life because of the Calvary's cross. There is a God that can break depression. My God. There is a God that can bring healing to his people. There is a God that can bring financial blessings. There is a God that can bring direction. There is a God that can move upon families and friends. There is a God. I don't understand sometimes the church body. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm honest all the time, you know, but just a matter of words, you know. We say, man, sometimes 90% he's lied, 10% he's saying the truth. No. Somebody saved. One thing I've never been, never, never, and we, Jelaine and I, have gone through some hard times. I mean hard. Hard ministry-wise, hard just whatever. One thing I've never, and I don't know why, but never been depressed. Never, 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 just never. I don't know why. I mean, you know, it's just, I don't know. I guess I just think it's going to be okay. It's going to be better tomorrow, you know. It's going to be better. Have you ever been accused of something and you know you didn't do it? That's bad. That's hard, huh? I mean, accused down to the core, and you know you didn't do it or say it or whatever. Never, just never depressed. But I'm not, and I know that's a thing that people go through. I'm not trying to belittle that at all. Definitely not. Because I know those are things that people go through. And you know, it's a spirit, and it's the enemy. And he tries to do those things. He tries to do that. Bring depression and try to destroy. Make people think things that aren't true, you know. Aren't true about whatever. That's why God says to control our minds. Get in that word. Think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Getting those things on the inside of us. Because you see, when we think of those things that are right and true and just and righteous, God will move upon that and help us. Okay? You're thinking the way God says to think. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you can't think whatever, but I mean, we got to think the way the Word thinks. We got to think how God was thinking. You see, you might say, well, how does God think? Just read His Word. That's how he thinks. Because he moved upon mighty men, Jewish men, most of them, not just about all of them, to write the word down, penned by the Spirit of God, so that we could have the word of God today. Praise God. But think on those things. Think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. You might say, well, how do I reject those things that are... You just say, Lord, I put my mind under the blood of Jesus. Lord, I put my who I am under the blood of Jesus. Letting God work and move and be what he needs to be in our hearts and lives. I want you to turn to John 15, verse 7 and 8. And I'm not saying I'm super whoever because I've never been depressed, okay? Please. That's just, I don't know, you know, just. But you see, you might say, well, you know, you have other weaknesses or that. So, you know, we all have maybe areas that God needs to work on and God needs to move on. So don't everything, just because you're not plagued with this or that, that you're better or than anyone else, myself. That everybody has maybe areas we all need Jesus to move in and to help us with, okay? So to ever think, you know, one is better than the other. We're all in the kingdom of God. Now, God has different callings, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. God has called to, so, and that's an honorable position. But I tell you, we're all in the same level with the kingdom of God. And the enemy hates the children of God. He hates how you look. He hates when you get up. He hates when you speak the word of God. He hates when you hear Christian music or the word of God coming forth from a pulpit. He hates that. Because it destroys him. The word of God, it says, is like a two-edged sword that cuts to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That's close. He hates the children of God. He hates this church. He hates ministers. He hates people of God. Because we bring God's presence. Not that we are God's at all. Zero, zero. But we are channels that the Spirit of God lives in us. And we get to pray and help people on behalf of the kingdom of God. And he hates that because we're destroying the darkness and the evil that has penetrated the world and is bringing destruction upon the world. And we got to do everything we can so that Jesus is lifted up, that Jesus is praised. We need a mighty revival, people, in our land. We need a mighty revival in our churches. We need a mighty revival in the pastors. We need a mighty revival in the families. My God, we need a mighty revival like we've never seen before. We got to seek God and ask God to move. John 15, verse 7 and 8, look at this. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Wherein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. Here he's saying is this, if you abide in me and I in you. That's the key right there. Abiding in him. Not going to the left or to the right, but just abiding in him. Just relying upon him. Staying under his protection. Staying under his blood. Staying under his anointing. Staying under his power. As we abide in him. What? And my words abide in you. How can we know the words of God? This is the word. I was talking with somebody earlier before church. Just about the word. And she expressed to me, she just said something like, you know, whatever churches, nobody had the Bible. Nobody had a Bible. They might have had phones. You know, and there's nothing wrong with phones. I mean, hey, look, nowadays, you know, all that's good. But no one had a Bible. How can the word be in us when we have no word? We gotta have that word. It says, if the word, words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. That's a promise to us. That's a promise to us. That you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's why, how many times, my Lord, have you been going through whatever and you prayed about some stuff and, you know, okay, you have to do other things, you know, and whatever. And all of a sudden, as you're just doing whatever around your house or working or whatever it is, something falls in your spirit. Oh, That's the Spirit of God, people. It might be a scripture. It might be a part of a scripture. Something. And you know that it is God that has given you the answer. Oh, my Lord! Makes you want to shout about your God because of what He can do. What He can do. That's the God of God we serve. You see, the word has to be in our minds, falls to our hearts, in our spirit. And as we go on through our daily walk and doing whatever we need, you might not have read that part of scripture in a long time, but you go on through your daily walk and God sees you need it, and all of a sudden He goes to the well that's on the inside of you and brings it back up to your remembrance, that scripture. We need to study that word, get it in our hearts, get it in our spirit so that it can be brought back because it gives life to God's people. We're made of spirit, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and body. It's always body's last because that's temporary, people. This flesh stuff, I know everybody's been to the funeral home, huh? And you look in that casket and you're going, okay. I mean, no life, huh? It's like that person would have been like a wax person, you know, just laying there. Because without the Spirit, there is no life. See, that spirit, soul, and body, is that spirit of the Word of God that brings life to your soul. Your spirit, that's more you than anything else. I know you have the body because that makes us all look different, the body. But that spirit where God is, that's who you really are. And that's who I really am. We got to feed that spirit. Feed that spirit. Feed that spirit. Even when you think, oh, Lord, I don't know what's happening. I don't feel much difference. You feed that spirit. You feed that spirit. And you don't give up. You feed it the word. You feed it good Christian music that's filled with the Spirit of God. I know I've told you this before. You listen to a song and you feel no spirit, get rid of it. I don't care how Christian it is. Because God will only approve the music He wants to approve. And if you don't feel the Spirit of God during listening to a song, that means God has not approved it and the Spirit of God is not on it. So why listen to it? Listen to that music that will bring you up, that will lift you up on the inside, that will give you a reason to live, that will give you hope and a future. My God, what a God we serve. Ooh, hallelujah.
Joe, can you hold what?
No, we can't go to a commercial. And while you're walking away, oh my gosh. Matthew 18, verse 18 to 20. Y'all, I didn't know what she was going to say. Come on now, Rita and Betty. Y'all got to put your life before me. No. Thank you. Yeah, you never know. Oh, my gosh. Starting with verse 18, it says, verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And let's read. Again I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. I'm so glad he said that last part many, many years ago. Where two or three are gathered many, many years ago. You remember, Rita? We were in this little building next door. We closed the front door and we had one person, Rita. Now, that doesn't mean there was a few that came back, you know, through the back door, you know, how we had set it up. But God was still good to us. You keep on doing no matter what, people. You know, we often think, well, you know, when God calls, he will give you abundance here and there. And he works in our hearts and lives. But you got to do even when it doesn't look good with the physical eye. And just and we don't live by what we see. We live by faith in the Son of God. We live by faith. I think she's okay. She's gone. We live by faith in the Son of God, in who he is and what he can do. We don't live by, you know, because man, if we live by this, we would go crazy every time we pass the gas station. It's up again. It went down. Oh, up. We would go crazy. You know, who ever heard, now, I know this is, I think California, New York, I don't know where. One of those places, a carton of eggs, $6 and something. I mean, they showed it. They showed the price. You know what I'm saying? You know, they went into the store and they showed it. So I said, that has to be $6 and something. Makes you want to move. Get away from there. Yeah, I mean, you know, so, you know, but we trust our God, not in what we see physically. You okay? But we trust our God in what he can do. Now, this is one last thing. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 22, please. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke was the great physician. He was a doctor, physician. Luke 22, starting with verse 41 to 45, and we'll be closing. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Now, this is talking about Jesus, saying, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. Here, and just to stop there, you know, Jesus surrendered. You know, we know Jesus never sinned. He didn't have the sin nature in him. He was born of a woman, but she was just really basically an incubator for him, because she got nothing as far as physically from him, you know. But she was an incubator feeding him, but that was about it. Because she was overpowered by the Spirit of God that came upon her, and he was formed in the womb. God becoming flesh for you and I. Don't you think if there could have been any other way of reconciliation, he would have done it? Sometimes we don't realize the price, people. The price that our God paid for us. And to see how some people live, Christians, that just blows me away. Knowing he gave his all. And he went to the Father, about to be crucified. He went to the Father and he said, if this cup could pass from me. You might say, well, could he feel everything that was going to happen to him? Yes, he could. He was in a physical body, pain. He felt all the stripes that hit his back. He felt when the spear went through his side. He felt when they pulled his beard and said, prophesy unto us, son of David. He felt when they pulled his hair. He felt when the nails went through his, you know, I know they say hand, but it's the wrist area to hold him up. He felt when that nail went through his feet. And basically the father said, there's no other way. And at that point, and we know from the beginning, but he surrendered his will to the father and said, I'll do it. The love of Jesus and the love of the Father for us. He surrendered. He said, it's all for the people and all for my Father. Just as Jesus is our example, let's surrender. Let's surrender to the Spirit of God. Let's surrender to the things of God. What God has been trying to do in your heart, surrender to Him. Surrender to His guidance. Surrender to His leadership. Surrender to the Spirit of God that wants to do a mighty work in us. Where would we be if Jesus wouldn't have surrendered? Because we know Jesus was born. And he lived for death. We were born, we live, and we're going to live for life. Either he'll split the eastern skies and come before we die, or when we die, we'll be with him. Surrender our lives to him. You might say, how do I do that, Pastor? Tell him. Tell him. Speak to him. Tell him, say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. But I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender to you. And let me tell you this. When you and I surrender to the things of God, the Spirit of God is unleashed upon his people, upon the children of God like never before. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will show us things in his word because he cares for us. We serve a God that cares for us. So we can give him everything. And when we give him everything and we get in that circle and we draw a circle around it and we get it in it, we say, Father, everything that I have is yours no matter what. Everything that I have is yours. Everything that I own is yours. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Please forgive me, but help me. My God, that's the kind of God. And he comes in, hugging us, helping us, leading us, and guiding us. Because that's who he is. My God, surrender. Wave the flag. Say, Father, I surrender. I don't know what to do, but I surrender. And God comes in with patience, with help for his people. Because that's who he is. You may stand, please. Thank God Abraham and Sarah surrendered to God. Yes, they made a mistake. Look. But God still came in and corrected it for them and helped them to have the child that they were supposed to have. God can correct mistakes, people, because we make a bunch. He can correct those things. Because he is God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As our heads are bowed before him, let's pray. You might say, Pastor, I need God. I need God in certain circumstances to help me. God wants to help. If you would say this, whoever's watching to say this, say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.